Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This episode sponsored by We Feed Raw. Most dog food was built for convenience and shelf life, not for dogs. We Feed Raw was created to change that. Meals are made with real meat, nutrient-rich organs, and complete and balanced nutrition designed to help dogs truly thrive. No fillers, no mystery ingredients, no ultra-processing, just real food delivered straight to the door and customized for each dog's needs. Many pet parents notice healthier digestion, shinier coats, better poops, and improved energy after making the switch. Because when dogs eat the way they're supposed to, you can often see the difference. Visit WeFeedRaw.com to get started and see today's best offer.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This episode sponsored by Hume. You're eating clean, hitting your workouts, doing everything right. So why does the scale still look the same? Because weight alone can't show fat loss, muscle gain, or real progress. The Hume Body Pod changes that. It tracks 45 body metrics like body fat, muscle mass, hydration, and visceral fat, so you can actually see what's happening inside your body. With 8 sensors and advanced multi-frequency technology, it gives you a full body breakdown in seconds, right from home. You can even track progress by body segment, arms, legs, and core, so nothing gets missed. And inside the app, you'll get personalized insights to help you adjust and improve over time. Stop relying on a number that doesn't tell the whole story. Go to humehealth.com and check out the Hume Body Pod.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
All right, Ms. Murad, you may continue.
Thanks, Rich. I'm now going to play one of the videos that the defense put in. Under Defense Exhibit 18, there's 3 that offer context to what's going on here. And you can see that several minutes later. Several minutes later, Ronan enters through the back door. And again, this is why this is important. You have to have the full picture of this parent-child relationship in order to make any determination about what the parent-child relationship is. And it does not justify the actions that Tim Ferriter took. Those were bad choices that he made, and we are not disputing that they were harmful to Ronan. What it does not prove is all the elements that the state has to prove, particularly as it relates in what we're talking about now to whether or not there's intent, whether or not it was malicious punishment, whether or not it was torture, whether that's what it constituted. The defense admitted a 14-hour video. We did not show you the entire video because you watched many, many hours of the state's video. However, the entire 14 hours is in evidence. And what we tried to do is provide, as much as we could, different days and different sort of experiences that Ronan was having. And it's not just relevant to show the context. It's also relevant to show what's actually true about what happened. This idea that Ronan didn't have the ability to eat snacks when he wanted to. One of the videos that we watched, he was watching football, and there was a bag of popcorn on the dining room table, and he grabs the entire bag and starts to eat it. This is after the state's expert, Wade Myers, who relied on only 40 of the 21,000 videos, said that this child, and that's part of his opinion, right? Why it's solitary confinement, why he believed it was torture, why he believed it was malicious. He is relying on facts that are not the whole truth. And so, of course, if you only watch those videos or the 40 that the state sent him, you're going to think, as you probably did after watching 8 hours of video, that the entire life of this child is in this room. And that is not true. You saw him playing outside. Prior to January 5th, you see him frequently outside. I know it looks like Tim Ferriter only watches football for a living, but it was December 31st and January 1st, and so there were a ton of football games coming on. If you go later, I think we showed you January 5th, 7th, 9th. You can see them walking outside as a family, playing in the cul-de-sac, playing with Pierce, who clearly really loves Ronan. Ronan fixing up a scooter that he had. That is also the life of this child. Fiona testified, and so did Ronan. This is a busy family. I think in every video you saw Tracy running around in the back from, you know, place to place, grabbing peers. But you have three kids that are around 13, 14 years old, all with their own activities, right? Nola has softball, Fiona has band, Ronan at the time had chess club. And so all these people are running around. They are not eating meals at the same time. They are not sitting around their kitchen table excluding Ronan, who's in his room. And the videos will corroborate that, should you wish to watch 14 hours of video. That is what you will see, that people are running around getting snacks. Tracy, at one point, we didn't end up watching this in the 3 hours that we presented, makes cookies for everybody, and Ronan partakes in that. You see him in the earlier videos, I think it was December 29th, coming back with little styrofoam boxes of leftovers. Wade Myers and the state are alleging that he had no control over his movement, where he went. And yes, at night, he was in the room with a lock on the door so that he could not get out, so that he could not run away or harm himself or do something around the house or get knives like he did before. That's at night. During the day, he went to school. He was with his family. And there were days that he was in trouble, and we're going to talk about that. And he would be in his room as a timeout because he was not allowed to engage with everybody when he's in trouble, when he gets in trouble at school. The videos, again, it's 14 hours, do get tedious. But the reason it's important is that there are extended periods of time every single day that you see Ronan have full control over his movement, what he's eating, where he's going, walking around the house, playing outside, doing yard work sometimes. We talked about that, chores like everybody else had in the family. That is a family. That is the life of a child. There are days when you are doing chores that you do not want to do, and there are days that you have to help your dad out with the yard and the tiki torches, and there are days you are chilling on the couch with your dad, watching football. There are days where you are in trouble, in really big trouble, and you are crying in your room because you are so frustrated that either you're in trouble with your parents or you did something that you didn't intend on doing. And it is the life of a parent that sometimes you need help with the random stuff that your wife's making you do around the house, you have your son help you out, that you're running around dropping the kids off so you don't have time for everybody to sit down and have a meal or have a breakfast that is exactly the same or make everybody a different breakfast every day. You're dealing with the stuff that your kid did at school. You're getting emails back and forth and having to deal with that. Go to the school, drop the other kid off, and go to work, pay your bills. That is the life of a parent. And sometimes you get frustrated with your kids and you do things that you regret. That is the life of a parent. And that is the life of a child. And sometimes kids and their parents are on exactly the same page and it is a really good day. And sometimes you couldn't be on further off planets and you are mad at each other. And you say things you regret, and you do things that you regret, but that does not make you a criminal.
Objection. Overruled.
I want to talk a little bit more specifically about the videos that you saw and what happened during the course of this 6 weeks. So a really important day is January 5th, and you can see from the videos that January 5th was the first day of school. And I want to give you context for what happened prior to January 5th. There's a video in which you can hear Tim getting really mad at Ronan and saying, "You just got kicked out of basis. We got to start this school off right. We cannot be in a situation where you are getting kicked out again from school after school." And Ronan admitted on cross-examination that at basis, he did, in fact, jailbreak a school laptop, right, that does not belong to him or his parents, and did violent searches on it that were very concerning to his parents, and that they responded to that because as a 14-year-old child, you should not be doing searches like that. And on January 5th in the evening, Ronan is asked, did he do a search after he jailbroke a tablet, and was there something concerning to mom and dad? So we talked about this. Now, when we get to January 5th, the state presented some of this video. I would like to present all of it. And the state represented that the reason Ronan was in trouble on January 5th was for something as minor as stealing candy. That is not true, and that is not what the videos and the state's own evidence show. So I'm going to go through these one by one. I also want to point out that at this time on January 5th, they moved probably, you know, week two before, based on the records, he still has everything in his room. He has his toys, he has his bed, he has his computer, he has all the posters that he likes. This is a time before he got in trouble, and it's a real turning point in this 6 week period.
You want to play a little bit, or are you tired?
Yeah, we'll play a little bit.
You can see there. You can see there that there is something going on in this corner that Ronan is doing, and you'll see more context as we go through that he had something he was not supposed to have, and he was hiding it right in front of him and wouldn't be able to check.
Thank you. play a little bit, or are you tired?
Yeah, we'll play a little bit.
Now you'll see Ronan rearranging the entire desk and bed arrangement. So, at this point, he's moved his desk, right? And we saw in the other videos that they want the Chromebook. It was specifically, you can see Tim when he puts it up on the fifth, that they want the Chromebook to point towards the table. You can see him almost adjust it in that video. And I understand why in any other circumstance that may seem like very unreasonable supervision for a child. A kid should be able to use their devices how they want. However, when a 14-year-old is using their devices in a manner that is destroying school property, that is breaking into the school's IT system, that is doing searches that the parents do not approve of and that are unsafe, then a parent, like Tim Ferriter, decides, I have to remove your technology. And when you use it, you have to be monitored. Because as Ronan testified, this is not the first time he jailbroke a school laptop. It happened at his school in Jupiter. It happened at his school in Basis. He broke into the IT system at Immaculate Heart. This is a consistent pattern. And you can't break school property, right? Someone has to pay for that. Someone has to answer for that. And what never happened is that Tim Ferriter called the police or told the school, take my kid to jail for committing a crime. He said, I'm going to handle it myself. And though he handled it very poorly, as you'll see here, there was a reason for everything that he did. And so we're going to watch these videos, which were showcased by the state, so that you can see what they presented and then previously what was the context to what happened. Because as you'll see, it was not about stealing candy. It was about stealing an eye touch that did not belong to him.
I told him something. Stand up. I told him something. Don't tell me what. This is your one chance. Don't look at me like an asshole. You want to tell me something or not?
I have an eye touch.
Yeah, from where?
Blue bed.
Where?
Green bed.
Excuse
me? Green bed.
Stealing again?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
You're
fucking
like,
disappointing.
Chocolate, and
there's
stuff. You got so much stuff in your room.
You're fucking great. You're just such a disappointment. You're going to lose. I'm going to take you out of that school, and you're going to be in this room.
He's going to be...
You're this close, because I can't trust shit you do. but put the ankle bracelet back on, and then you can try to fucking run away if you want and do all the bullshit you do, but I'm going to lock your ass down. Give me a fucking break. I'm sick of the bullshit. You're a big boy, you're going to steal, you're going to talk to police, I'm going to give you the fucking real deal, okay? You're going to steal from our fucking house?
Again?
Give me a fucking break, bro. What other shit do you got in here?
Yeah.
Because you're going to lose it all in about 2 seconds. Lose every fucking
thing.
It's
all going to be smashed real quick.
I told you not to unplug that fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
Do you listen to me?
Yeah.
Bullshit, do you
listen
to me?
Didn't. You didn't. You just unplugged it. To plug this in, and then you're just a liar, Ronan. Just keep lying. You lied really when I asked you. You can't.
You're a big boy. You're going to steal. You're going to talk to...
Throughout their closing argument, the state, when showing you some of these videos and Tim's own statement, says that's malice, that's anger. This is how maliciously is defined. Wrongfully, intentionally, and without legal justification or excuse. It later says that the primary purpose of the acts was to cause the victim unjustifiable pain or injury. In every video that you see in this case, you will see that there was a reason for what Tim Ferriter did. And you will also see, in light of the context in this case, that that moment that you saw, those 6 weeks, are a pinnacle of frustration, right? That tone, that frustration that you are hearing is after years of continuous efforts. I want to talk next about the child neglect instruction. In the instruction, one of the things that the state has to prove is that the parent did not provide care, supervision, and services necessary to maintain Ronan's physical or mental health. The state talked about the child neglect instruction briefly. In this particular case, we can see, so for example, the state said that there is no record of any treatment after 2019. As we discussed, that's not the case, and that's not what Dr. Rappa testified to. In fact, Dr. Rappa relied on medical records from about 2019 to 2021, where Ronan was being taken routinely to the doctor. Dr. Stuart Graham testified that there's no evidence of malnourishment. And the reason we felt that was important as the defense is because of this ongoing discussion about control over food, which, as you saw from the videos, is not consistent with the facts. When he was in trouble, he would be given food in his room. He even said, when we talked about the meals, he said he got the peanut butter and bananas on bread, and he said he was a pescatarian. And so I said, so you were given a meal for a pescatarian? And he said, yes. When you watch the videos, you'll see that the family is eating, Ronan is out with them, and there are times when he's in trouble and he has to eat in his room. You'll also see that the other kids are not eating around the table without Ronan. Everyone's grabbing and going and running like any family. We talked about his ability to manipulate the air conditioning and how that's not neglect, that there was a safety concern there after he almost started the electrical fire. He went to the doctor routinely. So now we need to talk about whether or not there was a valid legal reason to what happened. And this applies very specifically to the unlawful caging element of aggravated child abuse and to false imprisonment. So under the law for false imprisonment, I want to read it to you exactly, states as follows, that you forcibly, secretly, or by threat confine, imprison, or restrain Ronan against his will, and that you had no lawful authority to do so. Parents do have lawful authority to contain their children.
Sustained, the jury will rely on the court statement of the law and not counsel statement.
When a parent has a child, right, a really young child, who has to, we're talking about a toddler here, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. When you have a child who can't be trusted, right, they are contained. And as a parent, you do have a right to put your child in a timeout. You don't have a right for it to rise to the level of abuse, and I'm not trying to suggest that at all. What I am saying is that a parent can make a decision that the safety of that child, and in this particular case, Ronan is running away, as you saw from Tim, who was saying, you've got me forever, but you have to stop. Because if you keep running away and you keep lying to people about who you are, you're going to get hurt in this world. You have the ability, and that's why it's lawful authority, to say, you cannot leave your room.
Sustained.
As to the unlawful caging, that parental affirmative defense applies to the entirety of aggravated child abuse. So when we're talking about whether a parent's actions...
I'm going to overrule that based on prior conferences that the court had with both sides on jury instructions.
Applies to the entirety of aggravated child abuse, that parental affirmative defense. And so the decision that you're making is not would I have done that in Tim's situation, but whether Tim felt it was reasonable to do that in light of the unique circumstances.
Sustained.
That he was facing as a parent.
All right, jury's instructed to disregard the last comment of counsel. May continue, Ms. Moran.
That reasonableness element that you are determining, right, as to what a reasonable parent would do, it is under these circumstances. And the circumstances that Tim Ferriter was facing are different than the circumstances of another person who may be in that chair. The circumstances that Tim Ferriter was facing are important in your determination. Because he had a child who, as Dr. Rappa testified, had no impulse control, wasn't stopping, and who, by his own testimony, was breaking the rules routinely despite knowing that there were boundaries. And these are not just minor incidents. The state can pinpoint a few minor incidents, but the reality is that their own expert knows that the child had an attachment disorder. That expert testified that there were no suspensions in the record. That's not true, and Dr. Rappa explained that. Ronan admitted to that in his own deposition, which Dr. Rappa relied on. This idea that the behavior was so minimal that it didn't matter couldn't be further from the truth. There are doctor's visits as early as 2017, when Ronan was probably 8 years old, documenting, as Dr. Rappa testified to, uncontrollable tantrums that are consistent with having an attachment disorder, of harming other kids at school. There are school records that Dr. Rappa testified to saying this is getting dangerous and it is not stopping, right? That's what she said. It's that lack of predictability and the persistence that is really important in understanding the circumstances that Tim Ferriter had. Because those are the only two things we can rely on, right? Is that when you ask someone to stop doing something, they'll stop. And that when you, and of course it's a little different with a child, you give them a little bit more room to grow, but there comes a point where that stops too, where it's becoming dangerous, where they're not allowed to run out of the house in the middle of the night, where they're not allowed to steal knives from a location where the knives do not belong to them. The fact that they did not utilize the knife doesn't matter for a 10-year-old. You shouldn't have knives. The fact that you are doing searches on your computer for violent things. You're not allowed to have access to computers if you do that. So those circumstances are unique to Tim Ferriter. And that lack of predictability Dr. Rappa talked about, right? We expect people to act in a certain way. And the thing about that impulse control and lack of emotional regulation is that there is no expectation with Ronan. There are good days and there are bad days, and you see that in the video. There are days where he's hanging out and nothing's happening, and there are days where he is so frustrated he is screaming in his room. Those good days and bad days are consistent based on what Dr. Rappa and Wade Myers testified about with someone with that attachment issue or complex PTSD. That, both admit, the Ferriters didn't cause. And behaviors and issues consistent prior to 2018. After I am done, the state has the opportunity to have a rebuttal. I do not have that opportunity. This is the last time that I get to talk to you. And so I want to discuss again reasonable doubt. Before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about, the jury credibility instruction. You heard testimony from Fiona, and the state talked about how it was consistent with what Ronan said. What you will recall about my colleague's cross-examination of Fiona and also mine of Ronan is that there were things that were either not remembered or misremembered. And I don't think that these kids are lying. I think that Fiona is a teenager who has her own life going on and doesn't always remember and doesn't know everything that happened with Ronan, right? Her parents are not telling her every single thing. Mr. Waugh had asked her about specific acts that had happened, and she didn't know about them. She also said that he never went to a marching band practice, and we were permitted to admit this exhibit, showing Ronan at her marching band practice, that he was never permitted to do homework in the house. And there he is doing homework with her in the house. And the state can say all they want that, oh, these, you know, minimal incidents, they don't minimize this, that, or the other, but it does challenge the credibility of the witnesses. Because Ronan initially said that he never got food, that he occasionally was fed in Florida. You can see on the videos that's not the case. You can also see that when I questioned him, I went up to him with his deposition and said, look, when you were in a deposition and sworn under oath, you said you got every meal. And he said, that's right, I agree. So at the end of the day, these are children. And the best evidence is going to be the videos that you see. And I encourage you to watch that 14-hour video as best you can during the course of this. So now let's talk about reasonable doubt. So the instruction that you will get and the judge has read to you, but I want to highlight a portion of it, is this. A reasonable doubt is not a mere possible doubt, a speculative, imaginary, or forced doubt. Such a doubt must not influence you to return a verdict of not guilty if you have an abiding conviction of guilt. On the other hand, if after considering carefully, comparing and weighing all the evidence, there is not an abiding conviction of guilt, or if having a conviction, it is one which is not stable, but one which wavers and vacillates, then the charge is not proved beyond every reasonable doubt, and you must find the defendant not guilty because the doubt is reasonable. Reasonable doubt is one of the earliest terms that we learn about in our civic education, our legislature, and here's why it's so important. This is a decision that is probably more permanent than every important decision you have made in your life. You will go back there as jurors, you will come to a verdict, and that will be it. If you get married, you can decide to have a divorce.
Sustained.
This decision is one that you cannot change, unlike many decisions in your regular life. And that is why we have an instruction that says if you waver and vacillate, if you think, you know what, he shouldn't have done that, I think he might be guilty, but then in another minute you're like, there was a reason for this, I think that affirmative defense applies, you must find him not guilty. If you think he might be guilty, you must find him not guilty. If you think he could be guilty, you must find him not guilty. And the one thing that I am telling you is you do not have to like Tim Ferriter and you do not have to like what he did. Because what he did was wrong. And he will have to live with that for the rest of his life. When Ronan testified, he said, Tim and Tracy were just acting out a frantic surprise of my emotions. And he said, forgive them and move on.
Objection. Sustained.
That is his testimony. And so when you are back there deliberating, understand that Tim Ferriter made bad choices and you do not have to agree with them. But whether or not what he did amounts to a crime under the law is a different question altogether. And it is one that the state has not proven. I am asking that you find him not guilty.
Thank you, Ms. Murad. Rebuttal?
Yes, Your
And Ms. Murrah, just hand Ms. Black the microphone. Thank you. You may begin, Ms. Black. Are you going to be using the screen?
I'm not.
All right, you can go ahead and cut it off then. All right, thank you.
Defense just got up here and told you that the horrible act of parenting is not a crime. But in this case, it is a crime. Because it's about what a reasonable parent would or would not do. Because what Tim Ferriter did was not reasonable. Now, defense got up here and talked about the horrible things that Ronan Ferriter did, the dangerous things that he did, the reasons why he had to be locked up. But you have to remind yourself, these are things that he did when he was 11 years old. He is a child. He is in elementary school. Kids in elementary school will get in fights. Sometimes they'll go ahead, make jokes. He decided to go into his sister's classroom and tell the class that she was lying, made her cry. He decided to get into a fight with another child. But none of these actions amount to the treatment that he got from the defendant. Because you have to put it into perspective. These things happened when he was 11, 10. Yet when he's 14 in Jupiter, Florida, in that box, that's why. Because of the things that he did when he was 11. They talk about how the behavior was escalating. But what behavior? The lying about stealing chocolate? The bad attitude that he had when his father put his hands on him, threw him on the bed. The bad attitude that he had when he was throwing his Legos around, taking off his posters because he didn't know how to handle the trauma that the defendant caused him. That was the bad attitude that he had. Now, defense also spoke about how Dr. Rappa had records of after the fact. How in 2022 there was a neuropsychological done. But you also have to remember that this evaluation was done after the defendant had been arrested for these charges. You also get to take into consideration the fact that it is a self-reporting evaluation. That the things that Ms. Ferriter told the doctor, those are the things that she wanted to tell the doctor.
Overruled.
In light of the court's ruling
of my class, Your Honor.
Overruled. Dr. Rappa also talked about that in this evaluation that there were changes, there were certain levels in his inhibition, his emotions. But she also testified that this is because of the way that the defendant treated him. She got up there on the stand and said that this is not malicious. This is just how they had to deal with it. This was the end result for them. Not malicious. Yet, she never spoke to the defendant. She never interviewed him. She never got...
I'm sorry?
Comment on silence?
Overruled.
She never got the chance to find out why. And for her, it was pure speculation as to why. The biggest thing here is the criminal intent. Now, we already talked about this in jury selection. What does intent mean? A lot of the jurors would say words, actions, past behavior. And that's what the state has presented you with. We have presented you with the defendant's actions, his words, his behavior towards Ronan. Because it's the intent to do these things. Under the aggravated child abuse statute, under the instruction, there's three different ways. It doesn't have to be each one. It's not an and. it's an or. That he was unlawfully caged, or that he was maliciously punished, or that he was unlawfully and willfully tortured. And we have presented evidence of all three. You might go back up there and say, you know what, I don't think that they prove that he maliciously punished him. But he did unlawfully cage him. And that's still guilty of aggravated child abuse. There is also, the defense also brought up the fact that Ronan was explosive, that he was violent. But there was no evidence of that during that 6-week period in Jupiter, Florida. If you see the videos in both the state's videos and the defense videos, he was docile. He seemed nervous around his parents. At one point in the defense videos, he's standing next to the couch while his father's watching TV. He doesn't know whether he should sit down or not. He doesn't know how the defendant's going to react.
Sustained.
But eventually, you will see that he sits there, and he'll look at the father. Look at the father's reaction.
Objection. Sustained. I mean, excuse me, overruled on that.
You will also see in some of the videos how he acts in the room, that he's withdrawn, that he doesn't have that stimulation. I know defense got up here and showed you January 5th. That was the big picture. He had his Legos, he had his desk, he had his bed, he had everything. But throughout each day, there's less and less and less. They try to say that this was the result of a timeout. But we all know that from Dr. Myers, a timeout is not a long duration of time. If they wanted to call a timeout, it's a timeout from January 5th, 2022 to January 28th, 2022. Again, not reasonable. Defense also brought up that this was a natural response to control the child, that if a child stole a car, what do? You take the keys away, you take the car away, and that it's not taken to the extreme. But making a child go to the bathroom in a bucket, that is taking it to the extreme. They said that they wanted to lock the door at night because they were scared of him running away, scared of him causing harm to himself, scared of all these things would happen to him. But there was no evidence of that. He couldn't even leave in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. He had to be degraded and dehumanized and use that bucket. Not only that, but you saw in multiple videos that the animals had the freedom to go around the house. Yet he was the one that was locked in that box.
Overruled. Jury can rely on their own understanding of the evidence that was presented and published to you.
In reference to the violence that the defense was talking about, there was only two times that was brought up. And that was in Arizona, in which the defendant's not being charged with. We're specifically talking about a time frame in December of 2021 to January of 2022. They also brought up that they had to keep Ronan in this box because it was this way. That's what they had to do. They had no other option. They had no other choice. This is what had to be done in order to protect them. But you know what else could have been done? The medicine, the therapy, that could have been done. Both experts testified that there were only a handful of times that Ronan had gone to a mental health professional. One of the experts testified that there were about two or three 30-minute sessions.
Is it reasonable to think that in 2 30-minute sessions, the problem is going to be solved? No. But the defendant, the solution to that is putting that kid in that box. Not trying to find other providers. Not trying to find
overruled
different medications that may have worked for him. But no, that was their solution. Both experts also testified that this was not the proper solution. This is not what you do when you have a child with these issues. This is not what you do when you have a child that just wants to be loved, that wants to be part of that family.
Sustain. Move on. Jury is instructed to disregard the last comment of counsel. You may continue.
There was also a comment about Dr. Myers not watching all 21,000 videos. Yet Dr. Rapa did not watch all 21,000 videos either. And again, they went to some doctors and then it stopped. They didn't follow the advice. And again, no doctor told them.
Overruled as to that. Again, the jury is instructed to rely on your own recollection of the evidence in any determination you make.
The biggest thing here is that the crime occurred in the only space that Ronan had known for long periods of time. The state never made any allegations that he was in there 24/7. The state never said that he had never left his room. He did. But you have to also look at the fact that the only time he left his room was when there was a parent around. When they told him, you're allowed to come out. When they told him and they would stand there and follow him out. Those were the only times he was allowed in the room. There was also times that he did not control the light. It was the defendant who would control the light. Whether it was on during the day, whether it was off during the day, whether it was on at night. He also controlled the air conditioner. You heard testimony in the videos that the defendant did not want him touching that air conditioner. Even at points where Ronan says it's too hot, still told him, do not touch it. I know defense got up here and they started talking about the affirmative defense to the aggravated child abuse and to the lesser of the child abuse. There is no affirmative defense here because what the defendant did was not reasonable. It was not reasonable to lock him in a box. It was not reasonable to leave him in the dark. It was not reasonable to take the light away from him. It was not reasonable to leave him in the room with no air conditioning. It was not reasonable to make him pee in a bucket. There was no legal justification for any of this. And because of that, you should find the defendant guilty of all three counts. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Black. Let me have counsel approach, please. All right, so ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I know it's late in the day, and I know this has been a long trial that's already run over, but because of the lateness of the hour, I have additional instructions to read that I'm not going to read until tomorrow morning. That way you will be starting your deliberations fresh. We have concluded everything, though, at this point, so the next stage will be moving into the deliberation. So at this point, I'm going to ask that you come back tomorrow at 8:30 for the beginning of deliberations. I have additional instructions to read to you at that time, but what I don't want to have happen is me send you into the jury room this afternoon and there be a rush to judgment or a rush to deliberations because of the lateness of the hour. So I think the better form and practice at this point is to have you come back tomorrow. We'll start at 8:30. You should plan on Once the deliberations start, I typically go no later than 6 p.m. on most days. And if the jury's not able to stay until 6, then we usually end at 5 on days that are deliberate, where jury deliberations are actually occurring. I never know how long deliberations are going to occur, but I do like to give my jurors some idea of what the normal workday is once deliberations start. So for you, then, the process will be pretty much the same as it's been up to this point. Go home, relax, have a good dinner, good night's rest, because tomorrow will be a full and long day. You won't be out here in court. You will be in the jury room deliberating, but that will be a process that you'll experience firsthand tomorrow. Remember, during the break, don't discuss the case. You know everything about the case there is to know at this point, so more than ever, make sure you don't discuss the case with each other or with anyone else or do any kind of research, investigation, or any of the number of things that I've instructed you during the course of this trial not to do. The last thing I'll tell you is make sure you don't inadvertently expose yourself to any media coverage of this, including video or print coverage at this point. Other than that, go home, have a good evening, and I'll see you tomorrow at 8:30 in this courtroom for start time. Deputy, can you have them just come to the door? I should have told them when they need to check in tomorrow, and I didn't. So let me do that. If you can just have them come to the door. They don't have to come back out of here. You don't have to file back out here. I just want all the jurors to know I neglected to tell you when to check in with the jury office. Can everybody hear me? All right, so just check in at 8 o'clock in the morning. Be up at the 11th floor at 11:15 to check in with the bailiff, and he'll bring you back into the jury room between 8:15 and 8:30 for an 8:30 sharp start time. All right, thank you. I heard one of the jurors ask that question, so I covered it. All right, thank you. All right, everyone may be seated. All right, anything else I need to address before we reconvene tomorrow? All right, court is in recess. I'll see everybody tomorrow.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto.
America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.